From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled The Witness of the Spirit, part of his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is characterized as a witness. Indeed, as we've already seen, the Holy Spirit is the best possible witness, for His credentials are impeccable. He is God. As Dr. Cairns examines this subject, he's explaining four aspects of the Spirit's witness. These include His witness to, with, in, and through the believer. Today, he deals with what is the highest form of assurance of salvation, the Holy Spirit's witness with the Christian. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, Is Roman Catholicism Christian? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
If you ask most preachers nowadays, is Roman Catholicism Christian, they look at you as if you're crazy. Why do you even need to ask the question? Rome claims to be Christian, and many evangelicals even are willing to accept it as Christian. Let me start, however, with this as a basic proposition. Christian is what the Bible defines Christian as being. Now that's my starting point. By that starting point, I come to the conclusion that the Church of Rome is not a Christian church, but an un- and anti-Christian cult. It's a cult because, first, it does have a source of supposed divine authority beside, apart from, and beyond the Bible. Ultimately, for Rome, authority resides in the church, and the church to Rome means the Pope, his cardinals, his bishops, the teaching church. That is where authority rests. Claims the authority of tradition, but tradition needs interpreted, and only the church has the right to define the meaning and authority of tradition. Similarly, only the church has the right to judge the meaning and authority of Scripture. Now that's the basic mark of a cult. Some will say, well, does Rome not believe in the Trinity? But she does, but she effectively adds a fourth member because she talks about Mary in such exalted terms that Mary has been assumed to heaven, and Mary is the one who is a great mediatrix. Does Rome not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ? Well, she does profess to believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, and many individual Roman Catholics do sincerely believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. But as a system, the Church of Rome denies Jesus Christ. How? Well, you take the most basic truth of the revelation of God in Christ. What is it? It's the finished work of Christ's cross. It's the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The big question that the gospel answers is, how can a man be just with God? How can I be accepted by God? How can I be saved? Now, you can't get anything more fundamental than that, because if you're wrong in that, and you're lost for all eternity, you'll realize there's nothing more fundamental than that. Rome denies. In fact, not only denies, but places her curse upon the biblical exposition of the gospel. Justification by God's grace alone, through faith in Christ's merit alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. That's God's way of salvation. The Council of Trent, which is the last great authoritative statement that Rome has made on the subject, has placed the curse of the papacy on anybody who believes that. Now, this is no small matter. It is vain for evangelicals to get together with individual Roman Catholic thinkers and say, we agree on this and we can agree on the other thing. The Church of Rome as a church has made her position clear and plain. And it is a position that denies the Bible way of salvation. Now that, according to Galatians chapter 1, and that's inspired scripture, that brings Rome under the anathema or the curse of God. This is not a Christian church. This is an un-Christian and anti-Christian cult. Are there individual members in it who, despite the darkness of the system, have, by the grace of God, come to know Christ? I doubt that not. I believe that that has been true in every age, and it is no doubt true in our age. But that doesn't change the fact that the system itself is fundamentally unbiblical, fundamentally anti-Christian.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
The most important thing for any Christian, the most important thing, the most pressing need of this church in Greenville, that God would give us the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation in the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is the witness of the Spirit to the people of God, to take this word and to lead us into the full knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is God's witness to God's people. This is the first aspect of the Spirit's witness. As I say, we'll return to the ramifications of that in later messages. At the moment, he reveals the truth of the gospel, and he produces trust in the gospel. As 1 John 5 and verse 13 makes very clear, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. Why does he write them? He writes them that you may indeed be assured, that you may have an absolute trust grounded in Jesus Christ. So the Spirit witnesses to the Christian. Second aspect of his witness is with the Christian. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The 8th chapter of Romans, the 16th verse. Maybe to get the full sense, we'll read a verse or so beforehand. Verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, very obviously, we're dealing here with the subject of the believer's assurance of his salvation. He bears witness with our spirit, and what does he bear witness? That we are the children of God. There's a lot of controversy about this text. That's always the case when you come to a great text of Scripture. And there are certain very famous and otherwise very sound expositors, I think, who evacuate the text of something of its meaning. They tell us that our own spirits witness that we are the sons of God, and the very fact that they do so is a proof that it is the Holy Spirit moving them so to witness. Now, there may be some truth in that, but that's not what Paul is saying. He's speaking of something much greater. He's speaking of a joint witness of the Holy Spirit. Our spirits bear witness that we are the sons of God, and the Holy Spirit comes conjointly and bears witness with our spirits, confirming that we are the sons of God. Now, I believe that this is the highest form of assurance that a Christian can have that he's truly saved. Let me try just to fill in the biblical doctrine of assurance. Again, I can only sketch this. It's not the subject for me this morning. But to make sense of this text, there are three basic ways in which a Christian can have assurance that he's saved. First of all, he has the assurance of the written Word of God. Let me turn you again to that verse that I made passing reference to a moment ago, 1 John 5 and verse 13. These things have I written to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I want you to see what he's saying. These people believed on the name of the Son of God. Now, believers are saved. So we say, scripturally, these are saved people. But John is saying, I have written unto you who are believers, in order that you may know, in order that you may have absolute assurance of possessing eternal life, and in order that you may believe. I write to believers that faith may be deepened and increased, and that you may know. Now, this is a good basis for knowing you're saved. The Bible says it, therefore, it's true. I remember when God used that form of assurance in my own life as a young believer, having struggled through doubts and fears and troubles and trials, almost to the point of distraction. I remember when the Lord brought my heart at about 3 a.m. on the first day of February 1958. It's maybe giving away that I have been around longer than I look, but there, in an all-night of prayer, God brought my heart to John 6 and 37. I had many fears and many concerns, many doubts, many troubles. But the witness of God's word is, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, what a day that was. When the Word of God gripped the heart, and I could say, I am saved because the Bible says it. Lord, I'm not depending on the words that I prayed or now pray. I'm not depending on the feelings that I have had or now have. I'm coming on the basis of the Word of God. You say, him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. Lord, I come. In all my need, I come. And you say, you will not cast me out. Bless God. That's a solid ground of assurance. For God cannot lie. Man, make sure you have the Bible as the basis of your hope for heaven. But then, there is a second line of assurance. And that is the assurance that comes from the evidences of grace in the life. Now, this should not be used to the exclusion of everything else. Some hyper-Calvinists do this. And when you hear them preach, they think that they have preached a good message if every saint of God goes out of the meeting doubting his salvation. That's a good message. One very famous American preacher went a few years ago to Northern Ireland and preached in the largest Baptist church in Belfast. And they had a wonderful time. Now, this man is a tremendously able preacher. I'm very saddened, actually, at the report that I heard, but the best Christians in that assembly left the meeting in great bondage of spirit, wondering, were they saved at all? Because of this exclusive emphasis on evidence. For instance, it's a very favorite tactic to take the first epistle of John and say, now here are the evidences of the new life. And if you don't measure up, you're not saved. And what they do is they take one line through John's epistle and they forget all the converging lines. And they paint an absolutely false picture. And they set an absolutely false standard. And they have good saved people wondering, are we saved at all? Now that's a mistake. But nonetheless, there is the assurance that comes from the evidence of grace. For instance, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, if you've come to Christ and you're a new creature, there is what Martin Lloyd-Jones once called, I believe, good presumptive evidence that you are saved. For nobody else makes you a new creature but Jesus Christ. I remember an old friend of mine was a down-and-out alcoholic when God saved him. He's the man that Dr. Paisley carried 200 yards down the Ravenhill Road in Belfast and set him down in the vestry of the church and went outside and prayed so hard that the fear of God fell on this old sinner, and he prayed him sober. And that night that man came to Christ and was absolutely transformed and never, never again touched the devil's booze. Was an absolute miracle, and everybody in the Ravenhill Road knew it. But man, the devil gave him many years of opposition, many years of doubts and fears. Maybe you're not saved at all. Are you really? Could you believe it? Are you really a changed man? Are you really a changed man? Man, there was a change, all right. There's presumptive evidence that you're saved. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. We have read just now in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. I will do a message on the leading of the Spirit and show you it's not in Romans 8 what many people take it to be. But there is a spiritual dimension to a man that's saved. There's no doubt about that. The Holy Spirit does abide within him. The Holy Spirit does sanctify him. Now, not all Christians are equally sanctified and equally holy, but all Christians are being sanctified. There is a work of holiness being wrought in the life of every Christian. And undoubtedly, there is again presumptive evidence from a changed life that a man is saved when he comes to Christ and he's made a new creature and he's led by the Spirit and he's given a love for the Bible and the things that once he loved he now would hold back from, the things that once he despised he finds he embraces them with his whole heart. Bless God, there is there evidence based on the marks of grace in the life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves and see if ye be in the faith. And when a man can examine his life in the light of the Word of God, and however much there is to lament that he's not all that he wants to be, nonetheless there is evidence that he is in the faith, that man can say, there is a ground of assurance that I'm saved.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.